Well, the NFL seals its big draft with a homosexual kiss. How do we respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I was just going about my business on Sunday, actually just trying to relax a little bit, and some news kept coming before me that I was not looking for. Perhaps you had the same experience. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, and a day after Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. A little later in the show, I just want to share a couple of funny stories, edifying stories about my mom that I think you will appreciate. And a reminder about the power of a mother's words. I actually spoke about that at Fire Church yesterday. I was slated to speak on Mother's Day, really prayed, and that's what I spoke about, the power of a mother's prayers. 866-34-TRUTH. I have a question for you. What was the news I was talking about yesterday? What's my question for you? Well, Mother's Day, preached in the morning, then we went out with Nancy and our daughter Megan and her family, so we had some of the family together for Mother's Day, had a meal together, then went by, saw my mom, hung out with her for a while, she's 91 years old, then went home, just hanging out, chilling some, and I just was going to watch a little sports, just relax, watch a little sports. I'm always going day and night, and I'm encouraged by folks around me. Hey, just slow down, chill a little bit. So I was just watching some sports, and the big sports news is that Michael Sam, the first openly gay player in the NFL, has finally been drafted. Now, he slipped all the way down to the last level. He was in the seventh round. He was picked number 249. What's the big deal about someone getting picked the eighth from the last? He'd been a standout college player, but NFL is very precise. You have to be a certain size, certain athletic style to fit certain places. His was not considered a good fit. Then he didn't do well in what's called the combines, this trial in advance, athletic and mental acuity and things like that. So he slipped down further. So he ends up being drafted eighth from the end. And it's the big news, the first openly gay player, enough for our president to even get involved with all the things the president could have commented on, with all the heroic moms he could have spoken about, with all the issues he could have addressed. He addresses this. And I keep seeing this thing coming on the screen. Watch his reaction. Watch Michael Sam's reaction to being chosen. Watch his reaction. Thinking, what in the world was the reaction? I don't think I want to watch. Coming up constantly on the sports news. So then I get online and I see the headline news. There's a picture of him kissing his boyfriend. There it is. And a couple of NFL players were not happy with it and just tweeted out. You know, one guy said, OMG, oh my God, horrible. He was immediately disciplined for it, immediately apologized. You can't say that you're not happy to see a picture of two men kissing. I wonder how much of this was even planned and staged. You say, oh, that's totally conspiratorial. I don't know. Was he coached at all when he came out? Was he coached on any level when he came out and made his announcement? So I just have a question for you. If this was news you weren't looking for and it came up on sports news, I just heard from someone said I was out of the restaurant with my son and there it was on the news and there's the picture. Did you see this? Were you offended? Did you see this image and does it offend you? And is there something wrong with us saying that we are offended by it? Is there something wrong with us saying, I have a problem with that? Seeing two men romantically kissing or, you know, that excited moment they're going to share and kiss on the lips. Is it wrong now to say, I have a problem with that? I find that offensive. I don't want that displayed all over the sports pages in the news. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is the moment where Michael Sam got the news that he is going to be a member of the St. Louis Rams.
Where's the team?
Yeah, so this is played endlessly over the media. I mean, he's the 249th choice, the eighth from the last, but this was the big sports news over the weekend. And Michael Sam, the first openly gay NFL player, whom I hope and pray will come to know the Lord and find transformation in him. He says this. He says that, he said, I feel like I'm a J. Devion Clowney, who was the first round pick, the very first one picked. I'm proud of where I am now. He was the first draft pick. Clowney was a great defensive player from South Carolina. Number one pick. His being number one is completely overshadowed by pick number 249 because this gentleman wants the whole world to know, I'm attracted to other men. And when he announces that, this is now something to celebrate. 866-34-TRUTH. Mike Brown, you're obsessed with this. No, I'm not looking for this. This comes knocking on my door day and night. These are not issues. I'm not searching the internet trying to find articles on the latest thing happening. I'm trying to think through and pray through which out of the 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 items in the last few weeks I should address. Got an email today. I'm not ashamed to be labeled intolerant. From a friend, I feel totally intolerant of being forced to watch perversion in my society. I feel totally intolerant of being forced to keep any dissenting view to myself. That's the big one. I feel totally intolerant of the opposing views, intolerance of who I am and what I hold dear. Just like they have said so many times, they simply want to have the right to live as they please without being attacked. Why can't I have the same right? And on it goes. 866-34-TRUTH. Did you get confronted with something you weren't looking for? Did you end up with these news reports that you were not looking for? Were you offended? Does it offend you when you see the image of two men kissing? Is that something you want your kids seeing? Or is, hey, this is the new diversity, the new tolerance. We just have to accept it. Of course, there is the hypocritical irony of all this that my friends Jason and David Benham lose their reality TV show, and they've been very gracious about it and said, hey, our heart goes out to HGTV. They were bullied, and we think very highly of them. They lose their reality TV show because they hold views that abortion is sinful in God's sight and that they should stand against it and protect the life of the unborn in the womb. And they hold to biblical values concerning marriage and family. They speak those things not on national television, in terms of in months and years past. They don't speak those things in terms of anything to do with their TV show. Their TV show is just about flipping houses and helping people that are struggling financially to get a house and learn how to flip it for a profit and end up with a much better house than they ever could have had. It's a great wholesome message with great families and wholesome guys who love the Lord and be great role models for a lot of dads and husbands out there and businessmen out there, Christian businessmen out there. They lose the show because of their own Christian beliefs, and that's fine. You have somebody else comes out for the whole world to know, and he says, I'm gay, and then celebrates that with a peck on the lips with his boyfriend on national TV. And that, no, it's not about sex, just about football. It's just about football, just about the NFL. Well, if it's just about football, then who cares about draft pick number 249? And if it's just about football, then why make such an issue out of the sexuality thing? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Jamie in Manassas, Virginia. Hey, Jamie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing? It's Doug Brown. I understand the theory all men are created equal, but really? I mean, this is just like way out there. I mean, this is just beyond offensive. This gives offensive like a new meaning. I mean, we've had to put up with this stuff on TV for like decades with the sitcoms and all, but bringing this thing into the sports arena, this is just like insane. I mean, it's not only offensive, but it's like it goes against, I mean, we kind of like go out of our way to protect the rights of people who are engaged in activity that's like just beyond normal. And if we actually even cross any boundaries to where these certain groups of people don't get their, they said, rights, I mean, everybody just goes off the deep end. But, I mean, to just voice your opinion as far as not being something that you actually believe in or think it's actually normal, it just, I don't know. I mean, it's like we're being bombarded, and it's like everything's just backwards. I mean, right is wrong, and wrong is right, and it's just crazy.
Yep, all clear. Thank you, Jamie, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Want to hear what you have to say? And also go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article and then share it widely with your friends. I believe I am speaking for many of you. I believe I am functioning as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Let's go to the Bronx. Robert, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Robert. Just need to turn your radio down there, sir.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just like to say praise the Lord to all the born-again Christians out there. And this is the time we're living in. We're living in perilous times. And the Bible speaks to these things, you know, the reprobated mind people. And we're in the same time where anything goes. And the thing is, the people of God can't be afraid to speak up against what the devil is showing our children. They're planting seeds in their head to make them think, well, this is right. Instead, when it's not right, and it actually is sending you to hell. Okay? And the thing is with this, Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the same reason. Men with men, women with women. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if they don't repent and turn Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and change their ways, they're going to burn too. And that's the way it's going to go down.
And hey, so Robert, let me just ask you this question. Did you happen to see this on sports news yesterday?
I seen this in the paper, right there on the front of the Daily News.
Right, so how did you feel when you saw that?
I felt that there was it's a shame that men are presenting themselves like this, and they're allowing this stuff to go on the front page like that.
Right, right. So exactly, you weren't looking for this, Robert. You were not going around looking for this. Here it was, front page of the Daily News. And why is this the front page of the Daily News? What is the big news? And look, if the Daily News is going to shout it and ESPN is going to shout it, now I'm going to shout. I find it offensive. Thank you, Robert. Every human being falls short. Every human being sins. We've got all kinds of issues in society today. We've got massive heterosexual issues, massive issues of morality within the church, massive issues within marriage, massive issues, and then a thousand other things that are pressing and major. I didn't go looking for this. I was chilling last night. I was answering some emails and watching a hockey game, and I keep seeing news, big news, big news. See how Michael Sambre. I was not looking for this. And then I went online just to look for some other news, and boom, there's the picture that I did not want to look for or see. Boom, there it was. 866-34-TRUTH. Quentin, let's go to Fredericksburg, Virginia. Quentin, you're on the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing? God bless.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to weigh in and say that I think it's wrong. I'm wondering when the Christian men and Christian women are going to stand up for the rights that God has given us. One man, one woman. I mean, to see it on the sports, I don't think it's right. I mean, I don't want my children coming out and picking up the newspaper and seeing two men or two women kissing together. I'm one that believes that if you take an eagle and you put it in and you raise it with the chickens, it'll never take flight. I've seen it before. The thing will peck on the ground thinking it's a chicken. But now we seem to think that it's okay to raise children in an environment like that What do you think those children are going to think when they're raised after coming out of the adoption system, which is now legal, by the way, for two men and two women to adopt children? They're going to get raised in that relationship, and they're going to think that that relationship is okay. When, in fact, two lions can't have a baby, two women lions can't have a baby. What are we doing?
Quentin, you have expressed what many others are feeling. That's why we have been speaking out, not because it's pleasant. The whole myth, you do it for money. No, quite the contrary. These things are drains on your finances, and many people that would have had you speak in the past are afraid that you'll bring up controversial issues. We've been telling you it's coming your way. Of course, I'm going to care about every individual person, but I'm not going to let society be transformed in a negative way while I just sit back and watch. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No reason to read the tweets. You know, just in general, they were negative. They were showing that this type of affection by someone who's gay is somehow wrong. Now, do you believe that these two guys are reflective of a lot of fellas that Sam is going to have to deal with in the league?
I think that they are reflective of a small number of guys in the NFL. It's a community where guys have their own opinions and they should. But I don't foresee Michael Sam having any issues when he gets to St. Louis.
CNN interviewing former NFL football player Dante Stallworth. Oh, how fascinating! No, people shouldn't have a problem. You shouldn't have a problem. Male athletes shouldn't have a problem with the image of two men kissing. Hey, can I tell you something, friends? The tide is going to turn as God's people stand up and do what is right. We have been so concerned about offending people. We have been so concerned about our reputation. We have been so concerned that we don't want to seem bigoted that we have sat on the sidelines and gone in the closet. No more, friends. No more. I know I'm speaking for many of you, and by God's grace, many have not gone in the closet. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Michael, Southampton, Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you, Line of Fire? Listen, so Jesus said, man shall not lie down with another man like he lies down with a woman. But here's the thing. 2014... and it's been going on since Jesus was alive. It's been going on for a long, long time. The problem is it's not only one being shoved down our throat, like, how do you stop it? Two, you have no right as a Christian or a man or anybody as a human being to stand up and say, you know what, I don't agree with this. Because if you do that for a second and you say it in a respectful manner and you do that, you're scolded. Let's just take a look at Duck Dynasty, for instance. Here we go. Here's a guy who believes that homosexuality is a sin. He also believes that sex without marriage is a sin and many right. other sexual sins, okay?
So, yeah, and Michael, just to jump in and say this, Phil Robertson said things in certain ways differently than I would, but if he had hit on 20 other subjects like that, if he had just spoken, say, about sex outside of marriage for men and women like that, he wouldn't have gotten blasted. As my friend David Benham, he got blasted for saying that we have issues with no-fault divorce in the church. We have issues with pornography in the church. We have and he listed a whole thing, and he included homosexual agenda and its effect on society. Can't say that. No protest about no-fault divorce. No protest about him criticizing the church for sitting around building big buildings while people are dying without God. No criticism for bringing up pornography. Bring up homosexual agenda. Can't say it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Reverend Jackson in Union, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. God bless you today. Some years ago, Reverend Jerry Falwell in Virginia, I think it is, mentioned about the homosexual wants to get this where they can flaunt it in front of your children and draw more people into it. Enthusiasm builds sales. If you advertise anything enough, somebody will buy it. So when our children grow up in a society where they see two men kissing, they think that's a way of life, and they'll easily fall into these things, into sin, because we're vulnerable to things like that when we're young, and they don't know any better. But our governor in Jersey, they're going to protest when they're going to legalize the same marriage. Then the preacher moved, and the preacher said that. I did call his office, but I had to write a letter to talk to him. And I'm still going to write the letter. I want to let him know I'm behind him 100%. I get every preacher I could to come down and stand with him against this wrongness. It's not right to do this in front of our children in society today or any other time. And it's wrong.
Yeah,
it's
Reverend wrong. Jackson, you know, and thank you for standing. And you know, in certain ways, Governor Christie stood up for things. In other ways, he's just done what seems politically correct and violated his Catholic beliefs as well. And thank God for reverends and ministers and leaders speaking the truth. In fact, the second hour, we're going to talk about something major happening in Houston with megachurch pastors speaking out for biblical values. But look, the fact is, if you see something enough, if I don't watch any violent sports for years, if I don't watch boxing or MMA or anything like that, and then I see it, it's like, oh, it's shocking and the blood. But if I see it all the time, it's like, oh, no big deal. And the same way, you see images constantly, two men kissing, two women kissing. It's been a big thing in Hollywood for years. Yeah. They write about it with girls on girls. Girls experiment in school, and kids go through sexual questions and things. So the more you experiment, the more you open up the door to things. I know there's some people that from their earliest days that they can remember, they felt attracted to the same sex. But plenty of other things are acquired, and people experiment, and they go in and out of things to find out what they like. And then you become desensitized in the process. That's why we've got to raise our voices and we're not going to be desensitized. And this is our way of immediately combating it. Reverend Jackson, may the Lord's grace and strength be yours as you minister there in Union, New Jersey. Before I go back to the phones, let me just mention this. Our phone lines are jammed, and I will get to every one of your calls on the other side of the break. Another reminder to our friends in New York, WMCA, and D.C. on WAVA FM. Keep listening on our website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, on your cell phone, tablet, computer. You'll see a banner that says Listen Live Here. My book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, obviously of critical importance, and deals with these issues compassionately and going through what Scripture says and listening to voices of those that differ so that you can really know how to minister. We've packaged it together with my debate with Harry Knox. He claims to be a born-again Christian, is a gay activist, and it's a two-hour debate, a real eye-opener. The two together, $25 postage paid, which I think is a savings of about $15. Call now 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978, or order straight from the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. All right, let's take another call in Jersey City, New Jersey. Jesse, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I just had a question in regards to all this. So obviously, I mean, I take delight in, I'm a young guy, I take delight in the idea of having kids one day. So these things obviously worry me as a Christian. But what guidance would you give for the Christian community that doesn't have experience or exposure in voicing their opinion, maybe politically or just, you know, in these type of ways?
It's an important question because we have two issues. We have the issue of people we want to reach. We have the issue of an agenda we want to stand against. So the way we always articulate it is reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion, build relationships, reach out, but resist the agenda. We must get educated. Jesse, if folks listen to this radio broadcast and go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click through latest articles, you'll see article after article on these issues saying, here's how we need to stand. And then just do what's right. Live a righteous life yourself. And as you get married and have kids, set a godly example. That will be what is standing in the end.
Thanks, world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. I've been asking a question. Were you hit with news you weren't looking for over the weekend? Were you hit with unexpected news? And here it is, one man kissing another man, and it's headline news around the country. Why? Because he's a football player that just got drafted eighth from last in the NFL draft. We were told this is all about football. We were told this is about the NFL. We were told this is not about sex or sexuality. Oh, yeah? Really? Well, then why is this getting pushed in our face when we are not looking for it? 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, the other thing I've seen over the years, if you preach a message of sexual purity, talking about just heterosexual purity, if you preach on that, you will have people say, oh, you're preaching on that because you're secretly in sin. Oh, you're preaching on that because you secretly have a problem. Could it be you're preaching on it because you know it's a serious issue and the Bible makes it into a serious issue? And when you do ministry, you constantly hear from people who are struggling in those issues? Could that be why you do it? Or unless you're going to say that Paul had an issue there and that's why he talked about it, or Jesus had an issue and that's why he talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. God forbid. As a heterosexual man over the years, I'm all too aware of the power of sexual temptation and watch too many friends and co-laborers destroy their lives, especially in years past. Thankfully, great team that's been faithful to the Lord these many years. But I've seen way too many people destroy their lives through sexual sin, and the Word makes a big issue out of it. And I know as a heterosexual man, these things can be issues. Therefore, over the years, I've taught and preached about it. Now you take an issue, you take issue with homosexual activism, which is hitting you between the eyes everywhere you turn when you are not looking for it. Oh, you're a suppressed homosexual. You're just really gay. That's what you have to deal with. It gets ugly. It gets miserable. It gets unclean. You have to deal with it. You have to just say, okay, people are going to lash out. People are going to say ugly things. People are going to lie. Speak the truth anyway. 866-34-TRUTH. And if you didn't hear, well, I'll tell you what. I'll come back to that in a little while. We'll save clip number 25. Just want to get your reaction. I posted this a little while ago on Facebook. I posted this. I have no problem saying that the sight of two men kissing romantically is offensive to me and to God. You call me a homophobe or whatever in the world you want, but that is, I got no problem saying it. And many of you calling in have had no problem saying it either. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Dean in Roslyn on Long Island. Thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Brown. It's nice talking to you. I just wanted to say that anyone over, like any male over 10 years old that's watching sports and considers this stuff seriously, in my mind, there's something wrong with them. I mean, I see grown men wearing like $90, $120 team logo shirts on game day, and it just seems so stupid. I mean, it's like 30, 40-year-old men that just go gaga over sports. It's ridiculous. As far as two men kissing, you'll find worldwide, like the Russians, when two men are friendly and they meet each other, they will kiss each other. They'll kiss each other goodbye. Arabs, male same-sex friends walk hand-in-hand down the street.
Let me just say this. I travel the world, and, for example, in Italy, men kiss each other on the cheek. This is a peck on the lips with a boyfriend, and that's what was displayed. And it's not part of American culture to kiss each other on the lips. And all the countries I've been in where it's a greeting, and like in biblical days, to kiss, it was on the cheeks. You kiss the person on the cheek. Like in Italy, they'll kiss you on each, the male kiss you on each cheek. That's just the way they greet you. That's a standard practice. But a kiss on the lips is something very, very different. Anyway, we will be right back. 866-34-TRUTH.
Change the world. The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to play this for you. This is the acceptance speech of the winner of the Eurovision competition. This is an international competition. Many different nations are involved, and you perform, you sing, and then they vote, and you win for your country. This is the acceptance speech of, well first, let's play number 24 first, Joey. This is, well, the name, the official name, Conchita Wurst, W-U-R-S-T. We'll go back to your phone calls in a moment. Conchita Wurst, W-R-S-T, how the last name is spelled, from Austria. And this is the song, Rise Like a Phoenix, number 24.
But you're my friend.
All right, and then here you have, after the crowd reacts to that, you have now the acceptance speech. I may jump in partway through, Joey, but clip number 25. And you say, Mike, I don't get it. What's the problem? Well, listen, then I'll explain. Go ahead.
Do you have any words at all?
I do. This night is dedicated to everyone who believes in a future of peace and freedom.
All right. What do you know? That's a man. That's a drag queen with a beard, in a dress, with long hair, wearing a beard. Yes, this is some of the moral confusion we're dealing with. Here, just go online and type in Conchita Wurst, W-U-R-S-T. Just listen, all right? And that's the moral confusion, the gender confusion that we are celebrating around the world. No, Joey, trust me. Get online and look. 866-34-TRUTH. Ray in Boston. All right, let's go to Jim in Largo, Maryland. Thanks for holding, and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Mike. 2 points I wanted to make. One is, if I'm one of the nearly 300 other players that were drafted in the NBA, I'm a little offended that I didn't get a call from the president congratulating me on my being drafted, and also letting me.
How about being drafted number one? How about being drafted number one? That's a total side story.
And then celebrating my sexuality, but of course, being a straight male, that wouldn't be of interest. And then the other thing, and that's, I think, is at the heart of it. You have the leader of the free world that is a staunch advocate and cheerleader for this. So a lot of people are falling in line behind him. And then the second one, I think, is that we really have let the gay rights movement, or those that lead it, set the language that we use when it comes to gays. You just used a term a few minutes ago on the call. You said, use the term homophobe. Well, what does homophobe mean? It means fear of man, if you break the word down. I'm sure you're not afraid of man, but now it's been, it's come to mean someone who is prejudiced against two men living together. So we really have let them define the language.
We absolutely have. That's why I constantly say same-sex so-called marriage. If I ever write something, I put marriage in quotation marks. And to make that clear, absolutely. And in point of fact, David Benham said, I'm sick of hearing I'm anti-gay, I'm pro-family. So we need to recapture the language. And by the way, the term homophobia, once it got defined, even so doesn't apply. It is an irrational fear of homosexuality or homosexual people. I don't have an irrational fear. I have a rational rejection of homosexual practice. I have a rational rejection of redefining family and marriage. I have a rational rejection to seeing displayed on the sports pages and the headline news everywhere a picture of two men kissing. I have a rational, godly, moral objection to it. In fact, I'm thinking of writing an article. in the next few weeks, Jim. You are not a homophobe if, and then just go through all the stuff you get falsely accused of. But you're absolutely right. I have a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America about the semantic issue, the semantic battle. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let me just see here. Joey, get clip number 8. This is Fox News reporting on these issues with our friends David and Jason Benham, and they're being dropped from the Flip It Forward TV show. Clip number 8.
It's been very pleasing to my brother and I for us to be able to go on record and set it straight and let those that have been hurt, let those that have felt some type of hatred for my brother and I in terms of what we've said in the past, and say, we do not hate you at all. As a matter of fact, we love you. And there's a difference between the individual and the agenda. The agenda is something that we absolutely hate. We see what it's doing to our nation. We see how polarizing it has now become. We see the political landscape, and we see this, and we hate what it's doing to our nation.
Absolutely. That's why the word that I have operated on for 10 years is reach out and resist. Reach out to people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. You say, well, Michael Sam's an individual. Hey, I don't know him individually, and I have no access to him individually. And if I did, I would spend time with him and not focus on homosexuality. I'd focus on his need for a savior, his need for the Lord, like every human being has. I am responding to an agenda. And just curious, do you think that any of this was coached? Do you think that anyone was telling him, hey, be with your boyfriend at this point, or let's make sure we get a clip, a picture of you kissing your boyfriend so we can put that out on the news and make that the issue and then desensitize people to seeing it further? Just curious. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Minister Charles in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Lord, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
All right, I heard about that gay thing and about that, and I'm just want to put this out here that we don't see the devil is getting ahead of us church people. He got the head, he wanted to get ahead of God in heaven. That's why God threw him down here. But he's getting ahead in front of the church people because the church people will not stand up and talk about it because the gay is all right. But we can go in church on Sundays and holler and hoop and do flips. And doing all that and praise the Lord. But soon somebody, a gay person is doing that, oh, that's their business. But if we church people do not stand up and do like God said they do, he's going to bring the wrath in our household. And that's why we are finding out the churches are going to, they're breaking up, going out this way. They can't come together. They're arguing in the church because the devil is coming in the church. And we don't even see it. We don't even see that he's coming in the church. So therefore, now look where he is. He is on the front paper. And if we tell people do not stand up and preach the word to the gays, regardless if you die behind it, God's going to bring the wrath down on his church people. That's why a whole lot of church people holler when we can pray and nothing get through. We pray all day, pray all night, and somebody call you in the hospital and say they're sick, and you don't even want to go to the hospital to see them because they don't want to get the prayer through. They don't want to do this here. The devil's taking control. We don't even see it. But we church people. I'm talking about church people today. I'm not talking about
dear brother, I understand you. And I've said many times, we can shout, we can sing, we can do all we do in a church service. That's not going to start a revolution. That's not going to change the society. In fact, the civil rights movement, yeah, that met in churches, but people didn't go to a meeting. They went to a meeting to become part of a movement. We are part of the Jesus movement. We are part of the Jesus movement. That's why we go to a meeting. Thank you, sir, for the call. Hey, in a moment, I want to go to the phones with my friend, Dr. Gabe Rogers, a pastor and professor. Let me just grab one more call here. Raphael in Woodbridge, Virginia. We're a little short on time, but dive right in, sir.
Thanks for the call. I wanted to make a couple points. Just one is, like the gentleman just said, I think it falls on us as a church for playing into the agenda and not combating sin, because we'll get upright and outraged about two men kissing, but we'll allow multiple marriages, will allow pornography, will allow all these things to go on. And, you know, I see on Facebook church people are raving about the TV show Scandal, but then the next comment will be outrage about this. There's a problem with that. So I think that you know, the meetings, it's almost we have to, like, reverse, like you mentioned the civil rights. If we stop being church consumers and start meeting outside of church and coming up with ways to outreach and talk about sin and immorality in general, that means that we've got to fall in line as well.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you 100%. A lot of hypocrisy in our midst. And I'm not sure what the TV show Scandal is about, but I'll find out. And if it is what it sounds like, what in the world are church people celebrating? Thank you for the call. We'll be right back with my friend, Dr. Gabe Rogers.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. Hey, as I said at the beginning of the show, I was not looking for this. I was just relaxing, watching some sports over the weekend after some Mother's Day fun. And here it's the story everywhere and then online, pictures everywhere. Michael Sam, drafted 249, so eighth from last, merits a national celebration because he says, I'm attracted to other men. And celebrated, called by the president, and then here's the picture of him kissing another man. I find that offensive, and I have no problem telling you I find it offensive. I'll just bring on a friend, ministered with him, for him, Dr. Gabe Rogers, who's a professor, a counselor, as well as a pastor. Gabe, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again, my brother.
Now, you've got the counseling background. You've got the pastoral background. You've got the perspective also as an African-American leader. Give me your feedback on this whole situation.
Michael, I could have never been any more disappointed and offended as I am today. To have our president call and congratulate a young man who is drafted at 249 for a lifestyle of debauchery, the wicked lifestyle of homosexuality, is deplorable. Not to mention that he gravely overlooks 248 other supreme athletes. Mr. Clowney, who went number one, has not received half of the publicity that Michael Sams has received at number 249. And I must say that you're offended, but as an African-American male pastor, I got to tell you that I'm just double offended because all the guys involved, Michael, they happen to look like me. So it concerns me at a heightened level.
Except the boyfriend is white. So
white. You know, that is true. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's almost like a – do you think – knowing that he's going to get a lot of coaching about coming out and how he did it, do you think that any of this was planned? I don't want to be conspiratorial in my thinking here, but I just wondered. He just happens to be there with his boyfriend, and those pictures just happen to make it out. Do you think any of it was planned, or he was coached that this would be a great thing to do to have your boyfriend there?
You know what I think? Mike, I'm inclined to agree with you. I know guys like you and I, strong apologists, we are always accused of being overly conspiracy-driven, but I got to tell you that I would also agree that this was planned. I believe that this is a part of the agenda. There's a lot done that's unspoken that we would never hear about, the conversations that go on behind the scenes. So I got to tell you, I think it's well planned. I think it's planned to get a call from the supreme officer of our nation. You know, we have young men every day. You and I finished the dissertation, but we weren't privileged to get a call upon doing something positive of that magnitude.
Well, how about all the mothers? It was Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day, Michael. I was confused about that, too. And my mom raised four handsome, strong young men, and you know, three of which are happily married with families and work very diligently and hard. And you know, she's nowhere near getting a call or an invite to the White House. So I gotta believe that for this young man to receive this type of attention Somewhere in there, there has to be some background dialogue going on that you and I and the rest of the country are not privy to. So I'm in alignment with you.
Yeah. Now, just another question for you. What's your educational background?
You know, I am a psychotherapist, so I have a PhD from the University of North Carolina in counseling. I'm a licensed professional counselor. In fact, I served on the North Carolina Board for Licensed Professional Counselors, appointed by the governor for 6 years, was the vice president of that board, and wrote mental health law in North Carolina. So pretty well-versed in the area of psychology, development, and things pertaining to that.
All right. So let's say you have kids, impressionable kids, who see images of men kissing men and women kissing women, and I mean romantic and sexual and other things like there'd be on TV and movies, and you've got kids growing up that are going through changes, and can that influence them at all in terms of their own sexual development?
It's so funny you asked that, Michael. Last week I had a family conference at my church, and I was the first speaker on Thursday night, and I talked about this concept of cognitive desensitization. So
yep.
To answer your question, yes. There is a desensitizing of the deplorable lifestyle by showing us these images, showing these images to our kids. They're not going to get you and I for the most part. We're fully developed. We're pretty engrafted in our minds as to how we see male-female relationships and that we disagree with male-male relationships. But, yes, my 5-year-old daughter, if she's exposed to such images over time, she will be desensitized, if by nothing more, the science of exposure. We use that a lot when we're trying to help somebody reduce their anxiety. If you're afraid of a snake real quick, what we're going to do is we're going to show you a picture of a snake. Then we're going to bring in a stuffed animal of a snake. Then we're going to take you to a zoo and let you see a real snake. Then who knows, we might open the gate and let you pet a snake. So it's a gradual process of desensitizing one so that they will become an acceptant to that which was at one point in their life something that they totally would not touch or engage with. Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And look, yes. I don't know why people think that everything is totally and inalterably fixed with sexuality only. I remember when I started doing drugs, there were things that absolutely repulsed me that I would never go near and never dream of doing. And a year or two later, I was doing them and then boasting about it. People do all kinds of things. A gal who has high morals, sexual morals, as a heterosexual, and then she ends up hiring herself out, you know, to do all kinds of immoral heterosexual acts she never would have dreamed of. But we do get desensitized. It happens across the board. Hey, Gabe, thanks for weighing in. I do appreciate it. If folks want to connect with you, what's the best way to do it?
The best way to do it is to go to www.kingdomchristianchurch.org. There is an email up there where you can send emails to our administrative office, and we do get those all the time, and we'd be happy to respond. We, of course, have worship services as well every week here in the city. North Carolina, glad to engage at a heightened level. Real quick, Michael, I know you got to move, but the classic example of that desensitization is even what we see through pharmaceutical companies like Valtrex, who there used to be a time to where we heard that someone had herpes. We were real leery about engaging, but whenever there's a commercial that says, I have herpes and I don't, there is the desensitizing, which makes one feel that it's okay to engage. And I mean that as no hit on someone who may struggle
with
that
understood.
Condition. But that's just an example of desensitizing.
So, hey, got to run, but thank you so much.
You got it,
thanks for calling and weighing in. All right, folks, get my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? You'll find it tremendously helpful, packaged together with a 2-hour DVD debate I did with a man, gay activist who claims to be a born-again Christian, $25 postage paid. That'll save you about $15 off of retail. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, keep your heart and mind focused on God in the Word. Refuse to be desensitized by the decadent culture and speak up and speak out according to the truth. Well, the NFL seals its big draft with a homosexual kiss. How do we respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I was standing in our church building one time worshiping, and suddenly I felt something dripping on me, like raining on me. I wasn't looking for it. I was just in there worshiping in a service and looked up, and someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, yeah, there's a leak in the ceiling here. There's a leak in the roof. And I wasn't looking for it. It just came dropping on me. Next thing, there was water on the seat where I had been sitting, and we had to move it away. Well, there was a leak. You deal with it. You have some issue where the floodwater is rising, and next thing, they're at your door. You weren't looking for it. You weren't planning on it. It happens. Well, same thing over the weekend. Just getting some writing done, signing a bunch of our books, Can You Be Gay and Christian, to send out. Preaching Sunday morning, then spending family time for Mother's Day together with our family, and then just chilling, watching some sports, and there it is everywhere. Michael Sam, first NFL openly gay player, now drafted. He was the eighth from the last one to be drafted. And then I keep seeing these clips on TV, watch for his reaction, see his reaction. And I think, what reaction? What are they talking about? And then I get on a sports page online, and you click here to see his reaction. I said, what are they talking about, his reaction? What's the big deal about seeing his reaction? And then there it is. There it is. Headline news, two men kissing. That was part of the reaction, him kissing his boyfriend. Hey, I find that offensive, and this is something I'll continue to address and raise my voice to. And virtually every caller in the first hour was offended as well. How about you? You just chilling, doing your own thing, watching sports or watching news, or like one caller said, New York, picked up the New York Daily News, and there it was, headline. Or is it a matter of, hey, we just need to be accepting and recognize this is the way society's going? I, for one, am not saying, oh, great, this is the way society is going. And of course, NFL players, a couple of them not happy with this. One sends out a note, horrible. Oh, he's immediately disciplined. And in fact, the discipline is being praised by others. You know, hey, it was the right thing to do. In fact, maybe I'll just play this clip from my end over here. Let me just see if I can find it. Here we go. All right, one more second, and I think we can play it from our end here.
What do you think about Miami's punishment to Jones?
I think it's just and it's swift, and I think that's the most important thing. As a general manager, when you're walking in new, and like Dennis Hickey is as the general manager of the Miami Dolphins, you want to come out and show people that you mean business. And in social media, I think there's use and there's abuse, and I think that's what he's got to teach the players. And I think he's doing that with Jones. He's showing them that you can't just sit there and tweet whatever you want.
Oh, so you're an NFL player, and you're not allowed to say, I got a problem. I got a problem with these two men kissing. No, you're not allowed to say that. You have a problem with that? Do you think that's wrong? Do you think a whole lot of other sports fans feel the same? 866-348-7884. Okay, we come back. We are going to go straight to the phones. I still had some Mother's Day stories I wanted to tell you. Belated Mother's Day blessings and greetings to all the moms listening and the moms-to-be that are listening. But let me just say this. The most important thing you can do now is do the right thing. The most important thing you can do now in the midst of cultural upheaval and societal madness is be godly. Don't be a hypocrite. Be godly in your own life. Walk in purity in your own life. Honor marriage, covenant, commitment, and on in terms of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this world. God's ways will be proven right. Light will outshine the darkness. We'll be right back with your calls. 866-34-TRUTH.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. The simple step of a courageous individual is not to take part in the lie. One word of truth outweighs the world. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Read my latest article. It's called NFL Draft Sealed with a Homosexual Kiss. You can read it by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest article. Let's go to the phone, starting in Charlotte, North Carolina. Brian, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Brown. Once more, again, you are a gracious man. You and your team have always been gracious to me, allowing me in. I will definitely start off with exactly a challenge. And I use the word challenge because I didn't go to college, so I want to say emphatically encouraged, but I need it to be deeper. I need every leader, every pastor, every minister, every evangelist, everybody that would want to have the title prophet, apostle, bishop, in our, you know, in the Episcopalian, everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in context, is verses 9 to 13. And this is what I encourage to be every Sunday service, every Bible study, from now until the end of the month. And that will combat what we saw on Sunday. And the reason why, in my opinion, as I view the scripture, I was actually in the scripture, as you said. I was going about my business in the scripture. I had ESPN on because I was looking for a baseball game, baseball tonight coming on. I see this. I say to myself, the first thing off the bat is every other player that was drafted that had the opportunity to be on camera first hugged a family member before ever hugging a girlfriend, a wife, a baby's mama, whatever. Yeah. They hugged a family member. First, this young man didn't hug a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent. That he immediately, after crying, hugged this other man and kissed him. If you want to say that's an agenda, if you want to say that's a conspiracy, that's what you can say. But if you look at every other male that had the opportunity to be on camera, look at who he hugged first. Look at who he cried with first.
Yeah.
Secondly, I am one of those African-American, black, colored, Negro, however you want to classify me in America, according to the standards that America classifies its once captive slaves and their descendants. You can classify me as that. You can never, in your whole entire life, I get totally offended when having a homosexual male, African-American or otherwise, classified as going through some quote-unquote civil rights struggle. I detest that, deplore that, whatever other college word will come behind that. I could go on and on forever, but you have a show and you're trying to get to the memories of your mother, so I won't even belabor you anymore, but thank you
so much.
No,
yeah, Brian, I just sat back and let you speak there, and all three of the points. You know, the first Corinthians 5, meaning we got to get our own houses in order. If we know there is habitual, open, willful, unrepentant sin being practiced, we must deal with it. We must deal with it privately. And if folks don't respond, we have to deal with it publicly. And then, secondly, you're right. Where was the hugging of a mom? Or you said, well, you didn't have, I don't know Michael Sam's specific situation, but it's conspicuous. It's conspicuous. How many guys kissed a girlfriend? How many were seen doing that? Just a question to throw out. And then lastly, yeah, look, I'm a white American Jew, so I cannot put myself fully in the shoes of what it would be like to be raised in America as a black person or African-American, or as you said, any of the other terms used. But I constantly hear from African-American callers who are offended and feel that the civil rights movement has been hijacked by those comparing homosexual desires and attractions to skin color. So thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. And again, we were not looking for this story. We were not looking for this story. Just so you understand, and Matt, my producer, will verify this for you 100 times over. We're constantly saying, nah, we talk about this too much, write about it too much, got other issues. Because every day I could spend all day just talking about issues regarding attack on people's freedoms of speech or conscience or religion, or issues with homosexual activism in the schools, or stuff on the media. We do it day and night. I'm saying, friends, time for us to live right and do right. Time for us to say, have a problem with this. Yeah, I find this offensive. And you call me a homophobe or whatever you want. I find this offensive. You can call me an intolerant bigot. I find this offensive. I'm going to do what's right regardless. 866-34-TRUTH. Joey, let's play clip number 10. Again, this has to do with our friends Jason and David Benham. They've been on national media for several days now because of their reality TV show being dropped and by HGTV. And this really underscores things. You can be openly, loud and proud homosexual and kiss your boyfriend on national television. You get a call or tweet or a celebration from the president. And no, it's just about football. It's just about football. Then you have a great show, great themes, really helping people with wholesome role models for moms, dads, kids, etc. And you have people who hold to biblical convictions, and the show gets dropped. You don't see where this, not where it's heading, where it is currently. Clip number 10.
The announcement to cancel the Benham Brothers HGTV reality show Flip It Forward coming after the blog RightWingWatch.org brought to light anti-gay comments and other controversial remarks made by David Benham, like this one shared on the radio show The Line of Fire with Dr. Michael Brown in 2012.
The homosexual agenda is next. Radical, the intolerance toward radical Islam is next.
How dare he say that? He's right. Of course he's right. Shout out again to Right Wing Watch. Although I thought you had a Janet Medford clip on. Maybe you added that one as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Conlise in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And I am greatly offended and appalled. I don't understand how we can stand back. We've got to move forward as the body of Christ on this issue. We've got to stand up for what's right. And we got to defend what the Lord has said. And we got to show love. And we got to get out there and witness some kind of way. And also, to do this on national TV, what about the children, the impact that that's having on future generations, the toddlers, the one that sees? I think that what we should also do is... I'm an old athlete. I love sports. I'm just going to boycott my team that advocates this, that stands up for this. ESPN, they won't have my subscription. I'm going to vote with my money, with my wallet. I'm going to vote with my feet. I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to stand up for Christ. And I'm going to stand up for what's right. That's all I have to say. It's just not right.
Yeah,
and then
well,
one other thing. They can stand up and say what they got to say, and then when they canceled was the Duckworth because these people are pro life and we can't say what we need to say. We don't have freedom of speech, but our rights are affronted because they want to stand up and say that they have rights. Well, we have rights too. So where does it stop?
Yeah, and look here's so now it gets to the point where an openly gay player is celebrated more than all the other players, becomes the media circus of the draft. So it's no longer about team. In his whole thing, I'm all about team. If you're all about team, you don't kiss your boyfriend on national TV. If you're all about team, you don't announce to the whole world, I'm attracted to people of the same sex. How does that help team? Obviously, that's not the issue. But let's just think this through. He has the, quote, right to kiss his boyfriend on national TV, and an NFL player who says, horrible, he doesn't have the right. He gets fined. He gets disciplined. You say, well, there is freedom of speech. There are consequences to it. Well, the consequences have become ridiculous. The consequences have become completely turned upside down. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, I want to get to more of your calls, But I also want to tell you what's happening with in Houston, Texas, with my friend Pastor Steve Riggle, highly respected megachurch pastor in Houston, been there decades, known and respected in the community. When there was a space shuttle crash, one of the astronauts, at least one, was a member of his church, and he was the one that spoke at the funeral, leading the way, standing for marriage, family, morality in Houston, Texas, and calling out the lesbian mayor for her agenda, which violates the things the state has voted for. Mega church pastors standing. What happens if the rest follow suit?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. Yeah, Joey, grab clips number 27 and 28. I'm going to play them in a moment. This is on a Gay USA broadcast. James Essex, director of ACLU, LGBT and AIDS Project. I want you to hear this in a moment, but here's what's happening in Houston. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Pastor Steve Riggle, highly respected megachurch pastor in Houston. I've preached for him in years past. He and his wife, Becky, served on the mission field, almost killed when they were serving there in the Philippines decades ago. I mean, very close to being killed. They were really terribly, terribly injured. As missionaries on the field when they were attacked, and pastored now for these many years in Houston. And he launched the website with the help of other leaders, HoustonForMarriage.com, and called out the mayor, Mayor Anise Parker, open lesbian, for calling her partner the First Lady and saying, look, Texas voted that marriage is a union of one man and one woman, and you are elected to uphold the will of the people of the state and in the city here. And then she was campaigning for redefining marriage. Well, she has been pushing an ordinance for non-discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, which means that a man who sincerely believes he's a woman can use the women's room. So much for ladies' rights. It means that you could have cases where Christian businesses are prosecuted because of failure to allegedly comply with sexual discrimination laws. We know that these things are constantly going against religious freedoms. We're not talking about you own a grocery store and you got a gal working in the grocery store. She's in the produce department or something. She's, you know, great young lady and works hard and great on the job. And you find out that privately she's living a lesbian lifestyle. You're going to fire her based on that? No, of course I disagree with that. There's no basis for firing the person. It's not a job performance issue, but you better believe I feel very strongly that Christian businesses can say no, a bakery can say no to preparing a cake for a homosexual so-called wedding, and on these cases go. So Pastor Steve Riggle, other pastors in the city, white, black, Hispanic, and others joining together and making statements saying, hey, we are going to stand up for what is right. And now Pastor Ed Young of Houston Second Baptist Church, so one of the biggest churches in the country, he's also speaking out. He calls the proposed ordinance, quote, a staggering moral issue. He also notes the hypocrisy of gay activist groups that want Christians to, quote, tolerate their beliefs. And he says the verbiage of the proposed ordinance is couched in non-discrimination language, but without question it discriminates against people like you and me who want to live by our own personal convictions. People who oppose the ordinance have been called, quote, intolerant. And then Pastor Young says tolerance should not be defined as casting aside and acting against one's own belief to accommodate someone else's. Simply put, the homosexual community wants us to tolerate their behavior and beliefs, but does not want to give the rest of us that same courtesy. Absolutely true. So this is a quote, James Essex. He's talking about if you have religious exemptions and things like this. This is a major player in liberal law, ACLU, James Essex, clip number 27.
These religious freedom arguments, these religious exemption arguments, are so powerful because they could completely eviscerate the non-discrimination norms that we have already passed in states and that we are trying to pass in the federal government level and other states as well. And so these are not places where it makes sense for us to compromise as a community, because it's going to completely undermine the quality principles that we need.
Yes, exactly. So you give the religious exemption and you say, okay, according to your religious beliefs, you do not have to comply with same-sex so-called marriage and other things, that it undermines it all. Obviously, they're going after these very things. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's stay in Texas. I was going to stay in Texas for a moment. We'll stay in North Carolina then. Dana in Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Dana. Yes, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a couple things I wanted to say real quick. Number one, I am offended, and I'm really getting tired of this whole agenda. I don't see heterosexual couples getting all like that, you know, and I'm offended when they do it, too. You know, let's be professional. It was a football player who apparently wasn't one of the best. But my opinion is, you know, is this the last arena for this agenda? You see it all the time on television shows, for crying out loud. It's crazy in the music industry. There's a lot of rock stars or whatever that have said, if I keep showing immorality, people get used to it. And it's sad, but it's true. People have gotten used to this. And I think that I agree with the woman from Greensboro in the pastor that you had on, too. But it's time for the church to wake up. And the reason we've gotten, in my opinion, to where we are is because we're busy sleeping. Well, we don't want to offend them. Well, look, I'd rather offend every Tom, Dick, and Harry I run into than my father, period. I could care less. I'm more concerned about what's going, you know, helping people. And I guess, you know, being loving and all that, I'm all for that. But I'm just not going to sit around and act like it's okay when it's not. It's not. Okay,
yeah. Yeah, well, you've spoken for many, and that's why I just let you speak without interacting at all. You speak for many, and again, this is nothing we were looking for. Many of us just watching sports, relaxing with family. Someone said just out of the restaurant with his son. Someone else picks up the New York Daily News. I avoided certain things because I said, I don't want to be bothered with this. And then I go to some other news, and there it's the headline news there. So, as I said to a man one time, was flying overseas. We sat down, started talking. He was out and proud gay. And so I was out and proud Christian. And we had great talks. I mean, we talked it at length and exchanged contact info afterwards. He wanted to hear from me, wanted to read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, when it came out. Hey, I'll build a relationship. I'll walk in love. I'll have our differences. And in fact, I've quoted this many times. At the end of the flight, I said, if you met someone like me who held to these beliefs, would you say he was a homophobe? He said, oh, yes. I said, you consider me a homophobe? He says, oh, no, I heard your heart. And as people get to know us, they will. At the same time, I will sound the alarm. I will shout out like a trumpet and say, wake up, wake up. Desensitization is everywhere around us. Friends, get a copy of my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? You'll find it eye-opening. You'll find it practical. You'll find it filled with biblical truth. You'll find it compassionate. You will find it tremendously helpful, personal life and ministry. We've packaged it together with a two-hour debate I did with Harry Knox, who's a gay activist who claims to be a born-again Christian. You can get both for $25 postage paid. That's a savings of about $15 off of retail. You'll find them to be tremendously helpful sources, the written word and the DVD audio, video debate. Call now to order, $25 or more, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978, or just go to my website. Go to AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When I wrote the book, The Queer Thing Happened to America, I wrote a whole chapter on semantics, on the use of words, and how words have consequences. Words are associated with ideas, and ideas have consequences. And what happens is you get desensitized. And I mentioned the famous strategy of gay sociologists Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen in the late 80s, desensitize, jam, and convert. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Welcome to The Line of Fire. What's got me on this track right now is what happened over the weekend and the pictures everywhere of a man and homosexual kiss with another man. And this is how the NFL draft will be known this year. This will be the big event associated with it, the drafting of openly gay Michael Sam, who merits, because of that celebration from the White House. A whole lot of other people could have been celebrated yesterday on Mother's Day. Anyway, you get these images, you see them enough, it desensitizes you. And that was part of the gay strategy. Desensitize, keep seeing things, certain images over and over and over. Desensitize the society, then jam, get people to have just, I don't want to be a bigot, I don't want to be entitled, you know, I don't want to seem a certain way. And then convert when the people over who were not the extremists went over the others. And it's been a very successful strategy. I'm looking at an article, The More the Merrier, it was published March 18th, 2014, The Benefits of Polyamorous Relationships. And listen to this. Anna became interested in polyamory, so, quote, married and dating, and, you know, multiple relationships, all supposedly loving at the same time. Anna became interested in polyamory when she noticed its increasing prevalence in her university. It would seem that jealousy would run wild in polyamorous relationships, but James and Anna said that wasn't necessarily the case. It was a strange adjustment, but my partner 3 years and I were very open and honest, not only about our desires and the partners, but about the jealousy and feelings that came with those. We decided to go with full disclosure. So they see it, they get involved with it. Next thing, everything is fine. And it is gay activist strategy, again, to desensitize. So the more you see certain things, the less they bother you, the better it is then for us, number one, to not see certain things. If we're going to be desensitized, be it violence, be it sexual stuff, whatever it is, if it's going to desensitize us, you want to be sensitized to needs. You want to be sensitive. Do you see the picture of a starving child? You always want to be touched by that. Absolutely. But at the same time, there are things we do not want to see. And when we're around them all the time, we get desensitized. Just like I went from smoking pot and saying I'd never do other drugs to a year or so later, shooting heroin. I would have guaranteed you that it would never have possibly happened when I got started. But you get used to one thing, just like kids fooling around. You know, kids fooling around outside of wedlock and only go this far, and you get used to that. Now you want to go further. And then the thing loses its excitement and its thrill, and on it goes. What we need to do is fill our hearts and minds with that which is wholesome and holy and beautiful and moral, and speak out against that which is wrong. When we come back, I'll take maybe another call or two on the Michael Sam issue. And then since yesterday was Mother's Day, and since the best thing that we can do is set holy and godly and good role models in our own lives, I want to tell you some stories about my mom, now 91 years old, but I think you'll enjoy hearing some of these things as well. Mother's words can be very powerful. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember to visit my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call. Patrice in Durham, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Michael Brown. First want to say I love your program, and I got a chance to hear you speak in Phoenix a few years ago, and that was a wonderful experience for me. I believe
well,
it was a Messianic congregation there, and I just really enjoyed that. Anyways, I call to make a comment that the scripture keeps ringing in my mind. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we really have to keep in check the amount of emotion that we're getting ourselves riled up into. I wonder if as many Christian men who watch sports on a weekly basis were into the Word or into prayer as much as we are into entertainment and what's going
on. Oh, yeah. I agree with you totally. Totally agree with you.
So we really need to... We really, really, really have to check how much flesh we're putting into working up this change, because this change has to become about by the move of the Holy Spirit. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and if we would rally together as Christians and shut ourselves in and not only turn the TV off, but stop paying our cable bills and put that money into the kingdom of God and fast and seek His faith first for our own lives to be consecrated, and ask God seriously to let that flame so burn within us that the people around us can't help but be changed. We aren't going to make this move happen in the flesh, because we're wrestling against spirits and demons in high places.
Absolutely.
So we got to be careful how much effort and energy we're putting into talk and chitter-chatter. We need to be fasting and praying, first of all, for our homes to be changed, and the stuff that we're letting pour into us on a daily basis. If we put as much time as we did in our entertainment into the Word and just practicing being in His presence, I'm telling you right now, we would see a change in our own churches. We're missing His Spirit in our own churches. So, you know, we got to start at home. We really got to start right here in our own homes and our churches. And that will flow out, because we can't hold back what God is going to do when He does it. We got to line up with Him.
Patrice, I'm with you 100%. We've got folks in my staff here weighing in that you need a radio show or a pulpit. And hey, let my radio show be your pulpit right now. Look, my object when I address these things is to wake us up and stir us. And then what's the first thing we have to... Right, the first thing we have to do...
I'm on fire, but I need it. We need to take this fire that we're feeling and get down on our face. Forget the knees. We need to lay out on the carpet and on the tile floor and break our own hearts before the throne and let Him fill these broken vessels with His power and His glory, so we may go forth in this, not only in America, but across this world, speaking the gospel and the Word of God, and then the chains will be broken. But we cannot get riled up and say, I don't care if they don't want to hear me. I'm going to speak against this. You know what? Fast against it. Let God move, because we can't do it. He has to be glorified in this. God has to be glorified in this. Or are we going to pat ourselves on the back? And, honey, I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and that's the only way that a homosexual will be saved.
Yeah, Patrice, you know, the thing is, once we get stirred, then we have to go to God. We get stirred. We go to God. We repent of our own sin. I've said it for many, many years that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. And that's why my focus for decades when I talked about sexual purity and those things was heterosexual, being aware of it myself as a man, being aware of the temptation towards other women and the lust issues men can deal with, and seeing ministries destroyed because of lust and adultery and sexual immorality. Always preached about that, and something that I focused on in writing or ministry over the years when we dealt with purity issues. And then we get confronted with gay activism, with the agenda seeking to transform society, and those of us that are speaking out to try to silence us and intimidate in many ways. But yes, everything has to be fought spiritually. Yes, people are not our enemies. Jesus shed the same blood for everybody, and we are all in need the same way at the foot of the cross. So what we need to do is get stirred, get awakened, and then turn to God and take action at the throne room. Hey, amen to what you're saying. May we take heed to that. Maybe we'll get stirred enough to really go after God in prayer and fasting. Then who knows what could happen. Amen. Thank you for the call, Patrice, and many of you were saying amen as well to her words. Let me give you one more example of why we must be waking up in prayer and seeking the face of God. I want to play clip number 11. And this is a statement from one of our military leaders about why transgenders serving in the military should be reviewed. Now that you can be openly gay in the military, and there have even been some drag queen shows and things like that. Well, why should a man who identifies as a woman or vice versa be prohibited from serving? Clip number 11.
Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said Sunday that the prohibition on transgender individuals serving in the U.S. military continually should be reviewed. Hagel did not indicate whether he believes the policy should be overturned. However, he said, every qualified American who wants to serve our country should have an opportunity if they fit the qualifications and can do it.
I am all for able-bodied people who fit the qualifications serving our military, and my hat's off to anyone who wants to. Once again, I say, what in the world are we opening the door to? So the women will room with a man who identifies as a woman, and the men will room with a woman who identifies with a man, and this is, we just have to accept it rather than say, okay, these people, we appreciate the ones who serve in the military, but they need help. Let's figure out how to help them. No, just restructure the whole world. Well, no to that. That was a facetious line. Yesterday was Mother's Day, and you know what it reminds me of? It's a little thought here, that the best dad in the world is still not a mom. Oh. And that two dads, even devoted, don't make up for the absence of a mom. And there's certain things, the way God made women and the way they are wired, that are different than men. And even though men and women are not all stereotyped the same, there's still that best-selling author who wrote books on men are from Mars and women are from Venus. In other words, there are differences, there are distinctions, and that's why the ideal situation is for a child to be raised by a mom and a dad. Both my mother and father, my dad died in 77, at the age of 63. My mom is alive and well today at 91. She's frail, but her mind is sharp, and she's healthy at the age of 91. But they were both very affirming. They were affirming parents of me as their son. And I remember they would come if I was ever doing a concert with a school band or orchestra playing percussion. And I was normally given good percussion parts because I was at the top of the class there in percussion, etc. But, I mean, still, you're just all the way in the back and you're playing the snare drum or you're playing maybe a musical piece with a xylophone or something like that. And I remember I'd be standing there and you have to get all dressed up and so on. And you'd look out in the audience and my dad would wave at me, and I'd wave back. And I remember thinking, I don't see other parents waving. I mean, they were all there to support their kids and they were proud of their kids. But I still remember my dad would wave. But my mom always, very affirming, just like my dad, and they both really believed in me. And it's important for parents to do that. Correcting kids is important. Discipline is important. Having rules, having guidelines, that's all important. But it's also important to be affirming. As I said when I preached yesterday morning, it's one thing when the dog pees on the carpet and you say, bad dog, you're a bad dog. That's one thing, but you don't tell your kid, bad kid, you're a bad kid. You say, what you did is a bad thing. Now, come on, that's not the kind of kid you are. You did something bad. But then the affirmation, the positive, is important. There was a preacher I once heard who went through a period of rebellion when he was a younger man. And he'd go out to sin, but he'd hear his mother praying for him. That made it a little hard. And then he kept hearing in his ear, his name was Jerry. He kept hearing his mom's voice. Jerry's a good boy. My Jerry is a good boy. That Jerry, Jerry's a good boy. Jerry is a good boy. And he would sin, but only to a point, because he'd go to do something worse. He'd go to sin in a more vile way, but he couldn't, because he'd keep hearing his mom's voice. Jerry's a good boy. And I can't tell you how many baptisms I've heard from people, men who are away from God and all kinds of sin, rebellion, in prison, violent actions, whatever. And here they are getting baptized, saved, transformed. And what's their testimony? Mama kept praying. Mama never quit praying for me. All right, I got a couple of stories. We come back right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's a quote from a Catholic leader, John Henry Newman, Cardinal John Henry Newman. He used to say, "The tide will turn. Yes, that is true. For the truth remains, and the truth is stronger than all lies." This is cited at the end of an article I'm looking at online. And it's quoting from some other articles. My friend Bill Muhlenberg wrote this. He's putting out multiple new articles a week that are very, very helpful and cutting edge of what's happening in society. He's an American living in Australia. If you want to get his regular articles sent to you, go to BillMuhlenberg.com. That's MUEHLENBERG.com. So again, John Henry Newman said, "The tide will turn. Yes, that is true. For the truth remains the truth, and the truth is stronger than all lies." And to quote Alexander Solzhenitsyn again, "The simple step of a courageous individual is not to take part in the lie. One word of truth outweighs the world." I was watching sports, and I decided just for a couple of seconds I would do something. And I went through the comments section to my article, a second-to-last article on how anti-Christian activists will defeat themselves. And one guy named Parquet, goes this by the screen name Parquet Hundido, he started sending in comments, angry, hateful comments towards me and anyone that would join in. And I thought, I'm just going to pull these out. It took a second to just go through them, because I normally don't read through comments on articles of mine, except for a few here and there. Sometimes they'll get 10 comments. Sometimes they'll get 2,000 comments. So even if I wanted to read them, it's more than I could. But I saw they probably violate the site guidelines, so they may not stay up there permanently. Michael Brown is a hate-mongering bigot. No one who calls themselves a Christian can support that man in good conscience. Why do radical anti-gray extremists claim to be Christian only to beat up on people they don't like? So many believers are being deceived into following the anti-gay bigots in their message of hate. Don't do it. Turn away from the right-wing anti-gay bigotry or you will burn in the fires of hell. The anti-gay bigots are self-defeating. Not only will this network never run a show featuring backwards homophobes, I guess speaking of HGTV, no homophobic bigot will be able to rise to a position of power ever again. If the Brenhams were grand wizards of the KKK, no one would question it. And then someone commented, responding to their attack on me, "You appear to be possessed by Satan as you're helping Michael Brown spread his anti-gay message. Turn away from your lifestyle of hatred before it's too late." Now, obviously, this person is caricaturing. I mean, perhaps they believe every word of what they wrote. They're probably just trying to take our truths and turn them around in perverse ways that they do believe it. But, it's two solid pages. Michael Brown is determined to become the next Fred Phelps. So in other words, Fred Phelps says God hates fags. I say God loves those who identify as LGBT. Fred Phelps speaks forth hatred, venom, and, well, he's gone from this world and no ability to turn back and fix things now. So I reach out with compassion to all people and say that Jesus shed the same blood for heterosexual, homosexual alike. And I am determined to be the next Fred Phelps. Even says that I espouse violence. And really sick stuff. The question is if the people believe what they're actually posting. If so, that's scary. All right. Back to Mother's Day. So some years ago, when we were in the revival in Pensacola, the newspaper, after writing probably 40 or 50 positive articles about the revival and its impact on the community and on and on and on, they turned against us. They wrote really bogus, ugly articles against the pastor, against Steve Hill, the evangelist, against others, all kinds of ludicrous charges. And then a few months later, they came after a couple of the other leaders, me being one of them. And Nancy kept saying, you know, you need to tell your mom, she may get a call from this one journalist there. And I said, nah, they're not going to call my mother. She said, they're trying to call the parents and get the parents to say something different than the kids, or the kids said I was on drugs and the parents said it wasn't that bad, trying to make the kids look at their mom, whatever the case was. So I kept forgetting the call. I finally called. It was Mother's Day. I finally remembered I called her. And we were talking. I said, oh, mom, by the way, it's possible that you may get a call from so-and-so at the Pensacola News Journal. She said, he called. We had a very nice talk. I said, oh, he did. I said, what did you tell him? She said, I told him you're always a very nice boy. You're very smart. And I was so proud of you. You worked your way through grad school and got a doctorate and all this. And I said, anything else? Did he ask you? She said, oh, yeah. He said, well, what about drugs? She said, oh, I was very concerned. We were very concerned about him. Now, remember, this is my Jewish mom speaking. She said, we were very concerned about him. You know, he was shooting heroin. But then he converted to Christ and changed overnight. Well, when the newspaper article came out, there was not a single quote from my mom, because all she had to say was positive and then, of course, verified my testimony. Well, when I first got saved, I'm coming home one day, just sharing these stories in honor of Mother's Day. I come home from high school. I've been saved now a year something, year and a half. And I come home from high school, and as I'm walking into my driveway, I was driving a car then, drove home. As I'm walking into my driveway, there's a woman walking away. Now, she was Jewish also. My community was almost all Jewish, but she was a Jehovah's Witness, and her husband was a Jewish atheist, a college professor. And she's talking to my mom. And so, I mean, Jehovah's Witness, you better believe I'm going to go after the truth here. And she quotes a verse, I quote four back to her. She quotes a verse, I quote five back to her. She gives a reference, I give a reference. And I could see she was thinking. She was thinking. I said, something's going on here. Well, over a period of time, she ended up leaving Kingdom Hall and renouncing being a Jehovah's Witness. Well, I asked her, whatever happened when you talked to my mom that day? And she said, oh, well, your mother said to me, I'm not a religious person. I'm not interested in religion. But wait for my son to come home. He'll convert you. He converts everybody. Now, listen, you get that kind of affirmation from your mom and from your dad, and they believe in you a certain way. It really is strengthening and empowering. So moms and dads, as you have to discipline kids at times, and you may go through rough patches with them here and there, never forget to be affirming. Never forget to let them know how much they are loved. Never let them forget that you are their greatest fans and the ones rooting for them more than anyone, which is why you do what you do and stand for what you stand for. All right. If you've not yet gotten a copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian, by all means, order today. And when you do, you'll also get with it my two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian, about a $40 value, but it's $25 postage paid. So call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And click to order there right on the homepage. My bottom line today, as we celebrated Mother's Day over the weekend, let's remember mothers, fathers are unique in this world. Mothers, fathers have an awesome role to play in cultural transformation.